This episode of The Instance is brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. DoghouseSystems.com, you get the best gaming rigs money can buy. Want a free 120GB SSD drive in addition to the default drive in your system? No problem. Use the code FROGPANTS at checkout at DoghouseSystems.com. And by Harry's. For guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the promo code WOW when you check out.
Now, I don't drink poop.
No.
But I do drink coffee.
Visit the healing fountain before you visit the god of death.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 423 for Friday, the 21st of August, 2015. My name is Scott Johnson, joined today by everyone. Let's start with Patrick in France. Hello, Patrick.
Hello, Scott. How's it going today?
It's fantastic. It's so good to see you. Literally, I can see your video. You look great today.
That's insane. Technology, we have everyone in video, and we're going to be... I'm so excited to talk about Diablo and Hearthstone.
Yeah.
And, wow,
yeah.
A little bit.
Everything,
but,
man. It's a good day.
Yeah.
It's a good day for news. Also with us, Terpster from the shiny UK. I don't know what that means.
That's we're shiny, much like... Kaylee at Serenity or Firefly.
Mm.
We're just kicking it. We're loving it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Stay shiny or stay frosty. No, how's it go?
Stay frosty and everything's shiny.
Be shiny. Got it. All right. I'm fine with that. Also with us, the shiny Willie Dills Gregory. Hello, Dills.
Okay. We're all shiny today.
Yep. Everyone's shiny.
Yeah, but you're shiny everybody. As in Mad Max, like chrome and shiny.
Oh, yeah.
That's much better.
Actually, can I change mine?
Yeah.
That's too late now, isn't it?
No, we'll put it in post. You're fine. I'll just...
I love about that they never explained it. They just showed it to you and they're like, yeah, this is a thing. This is how they do.
That's what
they
I love about that
your mouth
whole...
with silver.
That entire movie. That's what I love about that entire movie is they let your brain fill in the gaps and you make... The world building happens naturally. It's the only way to go, man. Oh, my gosh. Can I just stop this right here and just say it's still.
Let's just end there. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Can I stop this right there? Yeah, sure.
I went 10 years in the past, and I have yet to find a movie that I liked more than this in the last decade. Find one.
Avengers
1.
I liked it better than Avengers 1.
I still think The Dark Knight was, like, that's just, that kind of did it for me.
It's pretty good, but I liked it better than that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's a fantastic movie. I've seen it like 3 times in the theater. I can't wait for it to come out on Blu-ray. Amazing. And that world building is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And the effects, and it's like a 2 hours car chase that is not boring once. And, you know, I learned at Nerdtacular that spray that they use is actually a chrome bakery spray that you can get, and you can actually use it like that.
What?
I would have gotten one at Nerdtacular. It would have been amazing.
I had no idea. It's not. I thought it was actual spray paint or something. I guess that'd be bad for you.
Actually, would have been great if a team for Frog Pants All Stars just all
exactly.
came out. missed me.
Oh, missed
exactly.
opportunity, dude. Crap.
Oh, well.
That's
anyway.
Too bad.
Anyway, movies. There's your movie update. Let's get to the matter at hand. I'm just happy to say that I raided last week and I got some pants. That's all I wanted to say up top.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, because,
excellent.
I mean, here's the truth, and let's be truthful here. I haven't played a lot of WoW lately, and I feel like it's not
You've
for
been
any...
playing Heroes of the WoW.
I have been playing a lot of Heroes.
Almost as good.
Yeah.
And Cards of the WoW?
Mm-hmm.
No,
a little bit.
I play lots of Cards of the WoW. Scott doesn't like Cards of the WoW.
Yeah. Scott likes Cards of the WoW.
Scott hates Cards of the WoW. I think we've established it's his least favorite game in the world.
Half of the stone,
He wakes up.
His favorite game of the WoW?
Cursing Cards of the WoW. So
I love that we're... By the way, today's show will be called Cards of the WoW. But also, I don't... hate it. I love it. I just am bad at it. And it's always, you know, it's always
everybody's bad at it when they start out. Right?
Well, yeah, but
playing.
The last you played it, Scott?
About a week ago, I played a game. I lost two games in a row and said, I don't know what I'm doing here. And listen, this is what I've come down to with Hearthstone. It's not anything but this for me. I think I'm just not good at this genre. I think that there's a turn-based card problem for me. Mm. And I love turn-based strategy games. I like lots of different hybrids of this. You know, there's certain board games that use a lot of these same mechanics that I really like, but I've never been good or liked playing Magic, like the actual Magic on a table, let alone the video game versions. I just feel like I'm out of my element. And in Hearthstone, I've gotten a lot closer to finding my niche, but it's just, I don't know, I just can't freaking get it to come out.
Sure. It's, you know, you have to really like understand the big picture of what's going on, because like a lot of people can understand, oh, control the board, or oh, hit the face, but you can't like to put it all together and understand these sequence of moves mean I will win more often is not an easy thing. So yeah, it's wrapping your head around that. Even if it is similar to like turn-based games,
it's like chess.
Very different.
It's like chess. I'm good. I'm okay at chess. I'm not terrible at chess, but I'm never going to be great at chess for the same reason. I think one move ahead. I just can't go. Well, if we all do these 12 things, no, I can't. It's just not possible for me. So that's
I can go like 6 or 7 deep. I'm okay with the chess, but I can't go. No, I'll never be a grandmaster.
Even in Hearthstone, you can make it. You know, you can win a few
games.
That's
a term, Scott. I heard you smirking.
I smirked a little, yeah. Seven deep, but almost said the whole.
I can go 7 deep.
All right.
I'm not catching.
Sorry.
Let's talk about where we can come back to Hearthstone and explain to our...
World of Warcraft.
World of Warcraft. All right, well, here you go. Here's this. Chilton and Hazakasa Kostakas said some things about Legion, and I thought they were interesting. A whole bunch of stuff. A lot of it we already knew, but the one thing that they're saying is it could actually launch before or maybe just after the Warcraft movie, which is something a few of us have said.
So hang on, it could happen in the time before or the time after an event. Amazing.
Love this. Amazing. This is the quote. And what Scott put down in the notes, and you know, this is really an excellent example of we hear what we want to hear.
Yeah.
He said it could happen before or after, which is literally a way of saying it could happen at any time. And Scott put down in the notes that lends credence to our prediction of spring sometime.
Yeah.
Which it's reasonable to expect is going to be in spring sometime, but well, that really doesn't lend credence to anything.
I don't know. Logically, spring will happen before and after the movie. So I can see his point.
Oh, that's
here.
A good point, actually. That is. Yeah.
Fall also true. Will happen sometime before and after the movie.
Yeah.
Or after.
And summer and winter, but that's okay. Well.
Yeah. So what you're saying is everything could happen before or after the movie. Yeah.
What we're saying, Scott, is time is a flat circle. Uh-huh. And something about killing people.
And there's a yellow king out there. And yeah.
Great.
I think pretty much everything in the history of everything will happen before or after the movie, except the movie.
The movie, right? Itself.
Right?
So, yeah.
The movie.
All right, so exactly the same day as the movie.
So yeah. they're saying this. They're saying the expansion release date is not tied to the film at all. So we know we're not going to get it the weekend the movie releases or the Tuesday before, because Tuesdays are usually video game days. All I'm saying is I think...
Well, on the day it comes out, though, it's definitely not coming out.
All I'm saying is it's not going to be next fall like the traditional pattern. That's all I'm saying. Don't you agree?
Well, we don't know. It could happen anytime before or after the movie. That you know, it could be next fall.
That's all we know. That's all we know, though. But equally, our strongest belief is that now it's going to be on a quicker, shorter turnaround and shorter content as well. You know, less content in the game, you know, less content patches, less raids, and ultimately a just more WoW or more variety of WoW more frequently.
Mm. I think we should just start a new calendar, just BM before movie and AM after movie.
Yeah, I always
measure from here on out.
Dills, I always BM before a movie. Always
BM before. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
Got to.
Yeah,
I BM in Hearthstone all the time. So.
And he doesn't get up or leave. So...
no.
Everything else in those interviews, they were all just sort of stuff we already had touched on, things that are happening, you know, in and without the game, things that are happening in 6.22, but none of it was really new except for the fact, from a lore perspective, I guess Sylvanas is back in a very big way and plans are afoot to make her a big, or have her be a big role in this expansion. So Terpster is the resident lore nerd. Does that excite you? Because she's kind of been absent.
She hasn't. Yeah, she has in the game, definitely. In the books, the last thing we had, she had a real big part in War Crimes.
Yeah.
And basically, she was kind of reuniting with her sister. And I think now that we know that Illyria is coming back, there's another Sylvanas sister, Windrunner sister even, sorry. And that is exciting for some. Mm. I don't know. People get quite fanatical over Sylvanas in the Horde, I think because... she's a bit of a rarity, which is like this really strong female character.
Yeah.
But I don't know. She has been really evil for the past few expansions, and she is getting more and more like Arthas, the Lich King, who
what did she hate. I feel like the last time I really saw her was Wrath, though, wasn't it?
Yes. Cataclysm and stuff. Yeah. She invaded Gilneas.
Didn't you fight her?
I barely played any of that Worgen
in
stuff,
Silverpine. So. She demonstrates to Garrosh that she now has control of the Valkyries.
Yeah.
And she can now raise the dead just like Arthas did.
Yeah.
And that's when Garrosh calls her a bitch.
Yeah.
And just says, like, no, what are you doing? No, this is terrible. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And
that was back when he still had some sense to him. But
is she responsible for that uprising when we had to go down in Undercity and whip
Wrathgate?
All of those. Not the Wrathgate.
Was like after Wrathgate.
Post
Wrathgate. Right? That was the next thing. Then you went to Undercity.
But is she responsible for her faction of this, or did we just get the small faction inside the Forsaken out?
I thought we fought with her.
She's fine. She's happy with everyone. She's kind of at odds with the rest of the Horde, right?
Yeah, but I thought she was with us.
She's always been a bit funny. And equally, though, they don't have a replacement. So you can't think that Sylvanas is going to be a baddie because there's no one else to lead the Forsaken.
What about Putris? What's his name?
Professor Putricide.
He
was the guy who did the Wrathgate, and I think we killed him.
No, not him. We did kill him. You're right.
But that's the thing. So I don't really think there's anyone else out there, which is a shame. It'd be nice if there was.
Okay, so here's my question.
Kill someone and raise him from as a dead.
That's true.
Exactly. Should we pick maybe Thrall? If he's dead, he can now leave the undead.
Well, we know Tyrion's going to die, right? So,
yeah, Tyrion. You were saying, like, what's happening to Tyrion? Why is he just, leaving Ashbringer? Maybe that could be it. You kill Tyrion, raise him, and he drops Ashbringer at the same
time.
That'd
be great. That would be kind of awesome. Spending his whole life kind of killing
and then he's cursed
undead,
to be one
and then he is
and leave
the
them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
That'd be all right. So here's the deal, though. She was in, briefly, part of Cataclysm where we saw an alternate future where a Deathwing had sort of accomplished his goals, and in one of the dungeons in the lead up to the raids, you had to fight future her. Do you remember this? And there was some pretty good gear that would drop from her. That's the last time I remember anything significant, and of course we averted that, so that's not the future. But how about a future where Sylvanas literally does become the Lich King somehow? Bovar and her have a thing.
I would love it.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
The Lich Queen to be an expansion.
Yeah, but she would have to go back to Ice Crown and like unfreeze what's his face and fight his fiery fury. That's a nice alliteration.
That's a whole expansion in its own. Almost.
Yeah,
World of Warcraft, Fiery Fury.
Yeah, Fortress of Fiery Fury.
Sure,
it could be a great.
Oh, there you go.
Four, though, as well.
Yeah,
they could do it instead of for WoW 4 as a story. I'd love that.
Yeah, I think that's a great story. Line take, and if they're going to follow the pattern of, all right, we reset things with Warlords a little bit, we're kind of back to basic Warcraft, and now we're resetting BC, sort of, not really resetting it, but we're sending out another invasion, and we've got Illidan involved again, and if they follow this pattern, rolling right into something where Sylvanas plays a giant role and leads to some sort of Lich Queeny kind of thing at the end is a pretty exciting idea for me.
I don't think they do it, though, because then it would be like, first you do, the orcs in Draenor, then you come back with Illidan, and then you do the Lich King Queen. It would be like following the exact map of the initial expansions. I think they're going to stray away from that for the next one.
Potentially, but nostalgia is really effective for getting people back.
Yeah, I'd be up for it.
Is Illidan going to get redemption? Do you guys think redemption?
I think Illidan's going to be a kind of class leader, faction leader type.
Yeah, like he's going to have some moment where he realizes like what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, he was always good intention, right? It just came down to
somewhat. Yeah, he was just kind of corrupted.
Yeah,
thirst for power.
Yeah,
he's an extreme version of good intentions. Like he's like, well, maybe we should like save the city, and he's like, well, we're gonna burn the entire city, and let God sort out the thing.
Yeah,
he's like the ultimate example of what happens when you get friend zoned, and you're like.
It's tough for him though.
His brother basically got with his girl. Doesn't owe you anything, buddy.
Yeah. And, settle down. Growing up as nerds, I think we can all identify with that misadventure of Illidan. He's like, hey, Sylvanas.
Yeah, and then we gouge our eyes out. We go try to get magic orbs. Yeah, that happened to all of us.
And
right?
That works. And consume skulls and stuff. Yeah.
I'm fond of the whole Brother's Keeper kind of trope that they play with him and Malfurion, and how Malfurion is the stoic, you know, force for good always, and his brother's kind of like this weird rebellious thing that keeps screwing up. And I think that's a fun story ilk, so it'd be cool if they played with that some more as well in this expansion.
We don't know anything more about Malfurion and the Emerald Dream yet, right? Or the Emerald Nightmare. We know that we're going in there, but
yeah,
we don't know.
But we don't know his role in it, or
no, exactly. It's really strange because the novel Stormrage basically did this and it capped it off and it was all great.
And we've never seen it.
No, exactly. But I don't know if, for example, we're just saying that never happened and we're going to do what happened in that book, or if we're saying that did happen and now it wasn't as resolved as he thought at the time, which is probably what they'd do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Star Wars can say that, you know, Chewie died in a book and then didn't, then, you know, do whatever you want.
Well, plus they trashed all of their existing. That's one disadvantage WoW has.
Chewbacca died in like a car crash or something?
Yeah. I look at the Warcraft lore more like comic books. They can have things die and then bring them back pretty easily just by simply saying, oh, the Lazarus Pit brought back
to
whoever.
I prefer them to be separate. Like, think about like Walking Dead, like just two completely separate timelines where things kind of happen the same, but.
Sure.
You know,
in WoW, it's canon.
WoW is canon. Yeah, that's my point. Is in WoW, it's canon, so you have to be a little more creative. So if you're going to bring back Illidan, you had to have this weird time thing, and you had to have, you know, Gul'dan. And,
really, they can do anything. I mean, anything that is canon, they can still say, oh, that guy resurrected. It's like comic book logic.
Oh, right? And they've done it a million times over. Yeah. I mean, you can
in a world
see
of magic.
With when paladins join the Horde. They want to do stuff, they're like, oh yeah, and then the
so
light
remember
is actually
that Naru
from these divine
that
beings.
They captured,
yeah, exactly,
and,
exactly, and they put a spin on it, and it fleshes the world out. As much as people rebel against it, it does make for a more a fuller world that we live within, and I think that's fantastic to be a part of that and get more and find out new hidden secrets, or to have twists and have like some sort of like I love in Batman, I love the whole Jason Todd coming back as Red Man.
Spoiler.
That's not a spoiler. That's like very
that's
old.
Known. Yeah, that's known.
Old thing.
No, I thought. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's fine. So, it's like those sorts of things. I'd love that to happen in WoW. I'd love a really strong alliance figure who we thought was dead for a long time to then come back and lead the Horde, or to be in charge of the Forsaken. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be amazing.
Who would you pick? Would you say
Tyrion's
Tyrion?
A pretty
Fordlin?
Good pick, right?
Tyrion
could be
good. Yeah,
he was gonna become the Lich King for a second. Like he thought he was gonna do it, right?
Yeah, he was about to commit. He was ready to go, and then Bolvar's like, "Nah, I got it, dude. I'm good."
So this is kind of like that could be a teaser,
like Saurfang or something like that. I don't know. Like I'd like to take it like maybe a big orc and put them in the alliance. Just something really weird like that.
Wait a second there.
I'm all for this. I think that's a great idea.
But wouldn't that be amazing to have like one of your major leaders on the alliance be like a genocidal orc, basically, who just hates his
own people?
I'm
not sure it would be
people.
That amazing. I'm not very fond of your suggestions right now.
Patrick, self-hating orc is what you're talking
Patrick
about?
Patrick is racist.
Not so much a self-hating orc, but just an orc that realizes that the Horde has to be stopped. I don't know. Yeah. Some of that I think could be really cool.
Well, basically, you're just saying do what they did with Sylvanas. She's, you know, blood elf, or sorry, night elf, alliance lady.
No, she was a high elf and then became, or blood elf, and then became undead. And that's the problem, is that she's now a whole faction in and of herself.
Yeah.
And I just like to see them take a actually developed, like an orc, or like a human. Like if you had like Varian Wrynn, when he was established in the comics, he was Lagosh and was a pit fighter, and it didn't particularly like the orcs, but they could have easily had it where he did like the orcs and fought for them and was a big thing with them. I don't know. I just kind of feel like that would be really cool.
Yeah.
In the story.
I'd have some fun with that. I know people have orc fatigue, but that would be an interesting twist to throw that on their side. So Patrick, shut up. You're wrong.
Terpster, you were right the first time. She was a high elf.
High elf.
Was
yeah,
she a
yeah.
high elf? She wasn't yeah, a. She was, she was a high elf. Elf. Oh.
She was. It's because there's a lot of. If you look around the hills around, there's a lot of herbs. So.
Real high over there.
It's a great place to level herbalism. Yeah. But
she well, was, but actually, she was like a like a kind of an enforcer type person or something, right? For the
she
elves
was a ranger.
Like
yeah, so she yeah. used to be out there doing the patrols, kicking ass.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think all three of the Windrunner sisters were.
They're all high elves, right?
Yeah, and they all were rangers, I think.
Is the distinction that one physically the distinction is that they're not blue? Isn't that the deal? That
the blue are the night elves, which went yeah. away when the elves, you know, after the what's it called, the Sundering, they went away and disappeared for 10,000 years, and they evolved into a different kind of elves. And the high elves that remained in the world became the blood elves, and they got addicted to mana,
right.
which, yeah. you know, maybe they were smoking too much mana as high elves.
Yeah.
And that's
they
the
were.
Gateway
so
drug. You know,
yeah, the well of eternity that they lived around, their fount of magic that they used to bring Sargeras into the world, when that got destroyed in the Sundering, so the thing that split the continents apart, Kalimdor and the Eastern Kingdoms,
and where the
magic
disappeared. Is now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they had all their magic and they went cold turkey, and that then led to them being blood elves, these kind of forsaken elves as they saw themselves. Mm. And then they started, you know, kind of tinkering in more different magics, and they made their own well. Illidan managed to get some vials of water, and you know, we collected a few of them. During the burning,
I remember that. Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, like I said, there's some great stories and great development in WoW. Legion should have a load more, but I think Legion is really going to be a big nostalgia trip, as from how I've seen it at least. The zones already in there, you kind of see none of them feel like left field like Pandaria was in terms of, oh wow, this is something completely different. Mm-hmm. These feel quite familiar and quite warm and cozy and welcome. You know, I look at one, I feel like, oh, that feels very Northrend, or that feels very Outlands, or you know, so you know, you've got a bit of everything. So hopefully people who have forsaken WoW come back to WoW.
Well, they've said in these interviews also that they were not happy. They were happy with the story of Warlords, but they weren't happy with how it was integrated into the game. They felt separate to the developers, and that they say one of their chief priorities with Legion is to change that and to have that feel more organic to the game when story beats happen, to go back to the ways they've done it in the past where it was successful and try to integrate that more. So,
but I mean, they've changed the game a lot by reducing the amount it asks of a player. That's I would say is the biggest change to Warcraft over the past 10 years, is that it doesn't ask as much of you as it used to. So things are easier to do. And when things are easier, sometimes you don't value them as much or appreciate them as much. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, could be something like attunement quests were taken out because everyone's like, ah, oh, these are a real pain in the ass. You know, you got to do all this attunement stuff. I got to do it on all my characters, and oh, I just can't be bothered anymore. Mm-hmm. But maybe if they found a better way of doing that, because attunement quests used to kind of encourage us to have a lot of story and go around and do stuff. And they brought yeah. some well, of that back with scenarios.
But they did. They set up the dungeon more than we currently get. We're currently, you do some five mans, you do some quests, and then you're off and you're running.
Yeah.
But to do the attunement, it kind of really forced you to kind of go through the entire bit of story before you got in there, right?
So well, depends how they do it, though. Maybe if they yeah. just did them so that you could have, I don't know, you know, so you do a quest and it does like a 10-minute scenario with loads of story in it.
Mm-hmm. I prefer more heavy attunement. There is some of that, though. Time heavy attunement.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like what, yeah. Patrick? What are you comparing it to? What would you say is in there now that's like that? Like for well, like for
still,
example,
you
when we
still have to.
Or go ahead. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, you still have to go through the world. You have to go through the quest lines, and there is a bunch of stuff like, you know, you have to go to build your garrison initially to start and expand into the world of this into the new continent. It's not like, you know, you just, well, I guess you can just show up in a dungeon, but there are things built around it. When you're talking about attunement, it brings back memories of you know, incredible dullness and tedium. That
I want epic. Wrong, I want epic right? quests and long lasting quests and striving. You know, like,
but
Karazhan for me was this awesome, achievable but cool thing. Mm. And I mean, I think there's just some way between there and what we have now.
Yeah,
I would agree that there's middle ground too. But I'm gonna agree with Patrick for once in my life. I'm actually gonna say that.
Oh my god!
I know. Everyone, write this down. This is an important day. Never forget. But I'm gonna say this about the attunement. I know what they were trying to do, and what they were trying to do is what we're all wanting. And I think the reason they removed it is for the reasons that it didn't work, which is it felt like you were gating content and limiting who could go. And to do it, it took a bunch of pain in the butt, and players, you know, had that as a badge of honor. Yeah, it was hard and grindy, but I did it. And I guess I understand why they feel that way about their accomplishment, but it also kept a lot of people away from endgame content.
But so, it doesn't have to be the way it was. Like right now, to get into five mans, you had to go to the dumb training ground thing, right? And like that was like a mini attunement, but you could do a very lore heavy, just kind of like introduction to the story you're doing attunement that's not, you know, 10 hours of questing. Well, and have it be
is stuff like that. There's the legendary quest lines in both the last two
but
expansions.
None of this is required before you go. No, of that's course. What I'm saying. Like to just kind of get a sense
make
of
that
the story
required,
before. Yeah.
But if you make that required, people, I mean, we're sitting here reminiscing very fondly about the Karazhan, you know, quest line. And I remember it as something epic. I was happy I had done it. Ask me if I want to do it again. No, I don't want to.
Well, no, you don't need, okay. So I'll say what the problem was with the Karazhan stuff was then you got to a point where then you were like trying to put together a team to go in there. And then you were like, this guy doesn't have a key. Okay. Well, who's got a key? Can we find someone with a key? Like it just became like this huge. Like,
but if they made it account wide, so that you do it on one character and you're good, you're done.
Well,
so it's
just
less
make it a shorter
grindy.
Thing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, and make then, it a shorter, more achievable lore based.
I think exactly
quest.
Knowing why or who you're killing is so much more fulfilling than just this guy looks like a badass. I'm going to take him down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing why.
But you
can
say in this
down.
Expansion we don't know. We've been introduced to all of the warlords and
you can never
not
leave
the bosses,
your
but...
garrison and be in the current raid tier, like because and you have never stepped foot out of your garrison for the last like 3 months, and you can just sit in there and be like, oh, you new LFR, click. And you're there.
Yeah, I agree
you might
about
not
that,
know at all what's going on. Yeah, like, that's
but
what I'm
leveling
saying.
Through the game, you do meet and interact with
you
the
get the initial story.
That
yes.
Yeah. I agree. I think that Terpster's suggestion is actually a good one. We haven't seen any scenarios since the previous expansion. That was a big deal then, and for some reason, not done. They don't want to do scenarios anymore. I think a scenario-driven prerequisite scenario where you could run it with your friends and get in there and get a bunch of story and do some easy, simple stuff, but it was required before you could enter that dungeon, but not hard to do. Think of Wrathgate or think of any of these other kinds of scenarios. I think that's a great idea, and it would just, I think it would draw people in and give them a reason to, you know, to feel more engaged with the story and less just, all right, where do I stand and how do I shoot and, you know, who's healing?
Yeah, I think there's a happy medium between, you know, super hardcore long attunements and shorter, more fun, lore-based stuff that doesn't feel like a grind. Yeah. There's somewhere in there that works.
Yeah, I would agree.
Similar to Halinka's like assertion that tuning the human racial is the way to go, not just getting rid of it.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that actually real quick.
Just buff everyone else's, I think, is the solution, wasn't it?
they're doing it, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
Yeah. So
they're
quote,
buffing all the horde racials.
The quote from Halinka was this: the team hasn't decided exactly what they're going to do with the human racial. They could leave it alone and offer a different talent in that row to humans. The racial plus the new options could be too good, though. So they're still obviously they're still in think tank mode on this. But
I'm just glad he's talking about it. And like, you know, he tweeted at me and Patrick about this whole thing after we had the epic conversation from a few instances ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was very, very interested in what like everybody had to say. Mm-hmm. And it's clear that they're thinking about it and they understand that there's something going on here.
Seems
so
good.
That's cool.
Seems good.
As long as they understand and like he's got something in mind, like I'm happy.
They appear to know it's an issue. So,
yes.
That's something at least. Let's see how they fix it, I suppose. But it doesn't sound like they have any interest. And Laura did another tweet somewhere where they like racials. They keep bringing that up.
Oh, yeah.
That we like them.
I don't think getting rid of racials altogether, because some people have that's just like chopping off a leg because like you have a stubbed toe or something like that. Like that's just too much.
Right.
That's,
I mean, Terpster did it that time because his penis was so big. But other than that, other than that,
such is the cross I bear.
Yeah, right. Is that what you're calling it now? Anyway, what else is going on? BlizzCon 2015 virtual ticket sales are now, or tickets are available now. You can go get them, and it includes all the panels, competitions, interviews. Will Wheaton's hosting the contest stuff this year, so out goes the Nerdist, and in comes Will Wheaton.
Chris Hardwick, I think that's cool. I like that they're mixing up a bit.
Sure.
They don't have to be like as tied to one person. That's what they ran into. I mean, if you remember the first time that Jay Moore did it, he got crucified.
Yeah.
And in the end, he became our idiot, the fact. And he learned over the years about the Alliance and the Hordes. He was good enough. And if the crowd started going, he'd crack out Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy. Yeah. I'm glad. Will Wheaton, obviously a certifiable nerd, which is great.
Do we know if he plays WoW though? I know he's played like, he must D&D have, and surely. Stuff like that.
Well, he has before. I don't know that he's actively playing WoW.
Like he's not we don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I don't.
Everyone's played WoW, so that's fine.
I
Ronda Rousey plays WoW. Did you guys hear about this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's totally has WoW because she like just training and being around and stuff, and, like not having anything to do in downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of nerdy anyway. And she says she loves it.
Yeah, she's a big-time player.
100s now. Yeah.
Her and that's what Schilling used to tell us. He used to, when they'd travel for games, away games, road games, he'd stay in the hotel and play WoW while all his buddies would go out and drink themselves to death.
And they get into trouble.
Yeah, they get in trouble or, sleep around or whatever, and there's Kurt Schilling in the hotel leveling his mage.
Icing his bloody ankle and playing some WoW.
Exactly. Which is kind of cool. But they had some unannounced digital goodies that they talked about for your games. They haven't announced what those are exactly yet, but I'm sure it'll be the standard banners and pets. And
I
all
reckon
the stuff.
There might be a pet they might add.
You think so?
I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out on a limb. Jeez. But I think,
Look at you making. Look at these broad predictions, man.
Do you think it's the? Do you think it's the? Illidan Murky.
Yes.
I think so.
Murkadin.
They haven't said, but yes. Yeah. They've shown that. It's been data mined, but the answer is
so
yes.
So what would be from the Collector's Edition?
That could be for that.
I feel like you're going to get, in the Collector's Edition, you might get all the stuff like card backs and special like hero skins for heroes and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, they usually do that for BlizzCon,
get
too.
A pet too so.
You get a pet, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I think.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, previously they've done. I think BlizzCon's always been a Murloc when it's been a pet.
Yeah.
So that makes sense for that to be that. For the Collector's Edition, though, I think it'd be maybe we get our own little kind of Fel Elemental or something Fel. It would be something Legion-y.
Some
maybe like a mini
Legion dude.
A mini Fel Walker Stomper thingy.
Yeah.
Or we just get a tiny Sargeras to just walk.
Wouldn't that be great? A tiny little Sargeras.
That would be nice.
That'd be great. Awesome. Just to finally see him in WoW. But
Little Sargeras. And he's always coming out of his, portal in the ground. And he can't get completely out of it. And he's like,
I'm not quite mini enough.
No, I'm back in.
I love that idea. Oh my gosh. If they're not doing that, they should. That's ridiculous. Also, they've got the goodie bag. Not only have they shown it early, but they've told you can actually buy it as a virtual ticket buyer for an additional $35. What's interesting is I was kind of shocked. It's a freaking messenger bag.
Yeah. Did you see the Michelle Morrow video of her like opening the whole thing?
I did.
Yeah.
There's awesome stuff in there.
Yeah. None for us, but that's fine. Don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
We just have to actually get one. Cheers. Thanks, Blizz.
I'm not going to go to BlizzCon this year. Yeah. It makes me very sad. And every time we talk about anything, it makes me want to go, but I'm not going to probably.
Yeah.
So I went and bought my virtual ticket and you have the option to purchase the, as you were saying, Scott, the goodie bag. The thing is for Europe, it's a little bit too expensive. And, but yeah, it looks kind of okay. I think it's another
just a shipping thing.
Yeah, it's $35, but then you have a bunch of money for the shipping and the potentially the customs extra. And
you have connections.
The bag
you'll be
is
fine.
Good, but I have so many things that I don't use from those.
I know I have a plethora of
that's what the shop's for.
Yeah, that's
I went and bought a 10-year award off of eBay because I saw it at Scott's house, and I was just like, this is ridiculous.
That's
I
right. Don't have one of these. That's right. These you were walking to my living room, and Terpsha was like, what? Why is that
what
even here?
What the hell? Exactly. And so I bought one. I got one cheap. I say cheap. It was, I'm trying to think of what the conversion was. It was 150 quid, so it's about... $250.
$230. Not bad at all.
So it's exactly for what it is, it's reasonably cheap.
Somebody sold theirs for what?
Yeah, exactly. And in Europe as well, so I didn't have to pay crazy postage or anything like that. Yeah. It's like I lucked out.
That's someone who just like literally hates Warlords of Draenor. Like, you know what? No. No.
10 years.
Selling my 10-year thing.
So I have something exciting to tell you guys about that. So I have my brother-in-law who helped me build my studio and build my standing desk. Guy's a freaking like builder genius, woodworker man genius guy. And he works for a place that does like ironwork and like casting.
I would say this, well, this is firstly probably illegal, but carry on.
It's not illegal. Here's what I'm doing, because I'm not selling anything. I'm going to take the little 10-year anniversary one that they sent, the orc on the wolf, and he's going to scan this. They've got this like $80,000 3D scanner thing. They're going to scan it to the detail, like perfectly high resolution detail scan of this 3D model. Then he's going to cast a version of it that's about as big as a love seat, like a size of a chair size. So it won't be like the one out in the courtyard at Blizzard, but it'll be like this, you know, a big thing. It would span about the length of, you know, I don't know. Like, imagine a washing machine.
A big thing.
Yeah, like a washing machine wide version of this thing. And then we're going to stick it in the office down here.
So
and
bigger than a bread box.
Can't.
Got it.
I can't wait. It'll look pro. It'll be bronze on the outside.
And where is this going?
Maybe resin. It's off on the my office.
Oh, okay.
So thanks, Scott. So that was less. I thought you were going to offer
it out on your front lawn.
That was my whole point. If we wanted to, it's easy to cast duplicates. So I don't know how we'd ship them to Europe.
It doesn't sound that easy, Scott, honestly.
For him, it is.
You said it's the size of a washing machine,
a
Scott.
Scanner and then a 3D printer. Like, you understand, like, those aren't just all over the place.
No, what I mean is we would make them here, and then I would ship them to you guys. Or we don't have to do them the size of the washer. We could do little ones. We could do smaller ones and different sizes and stuff. And they could be resin, so they won't be that heavy. They look like bronze. Like, there's lots of stuff we could do. I'm just saying. Okay. Throwing down there.
I want mine made out of cheese. Can I get that?
Yeah, you can get yours made out of cheese. Patrick's basically... cat coffee poop.
pre-show reference. So basically, I don't know if I've told you that story before, but when I first joined Blizzard, I don't know if you remember, but when they got that new statue in the Blizzard office, they actually gave a replica that is about the size of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
Smaller than what Scott wants, but yeah.
Maybe a little bit smaller, but it's pretty massive.
It's big on the desk.
Yeah. And so I joined a couple of years later, and a year after I joined, I had a friend who moved to Irvine. He changed jobs, and he had gotten one, and he didn't want to take it with him. So he told me, "Do you want to have it?" And I said, "Well, you know, I really don't have anywhere to put it. I'm fine. Oh. You know, give it to someone else." And ever since that has happened, I have regretted this. Like, I
why would you even
passed
say
up
that?
On
the one that
I
got
don't
away.
Know.
Patrick.
I was.
So
and,
about
and that is
$2,000 on
of the
eBay.
Biggest...
If you want to get one, it's about $2,000.
$2,000.
Oh, God.
But you've got one of the Hearthstone rewards, haven't you? Because for Christmas every year, Blizzard basically, they use a company called Happy Worker, which they make a lot of merch through, and they give employee rewards that are just so cool, and everyone wants
them. I have all of them. I mean,
and
for the
so,
5 years, obviously, I got
yeah, exactly.
Them,
so. And they're so cool. But what happens is Blizzard has, you know, thousands of people work for them, and you know, every year some people move on to other roles, and some people decide to sell some of their stuff, and so it shows up on eBay, and it is really expensive. But
well, there you go.
I will never sell those.
Well, when I figure this thing out on this end, you guys may look at it and go, oh, holy crap, those are better than the originals, and then you'll want them, and then we'll figure it out.
Okay. Well,
and then I'll have to pay you. I understand, Scott. I'll report you, and then they'll give me a real one as a thank you for reporting you.
Oh, I see.
I'll say, no worries.
All right. Is that how they reward narcs?
Snitches.
Okay.
Snitches get
snitches. Yeah, I think they will definitely need your snitching to realize that Scott has this evil plan because no one listens to this. So
yeah, there you have it.
He broadcast it on a podcast. That was his one flaw in his plan. I publicly informed everyone about my plan.
His plan was perfect, except for the fact that he told everyone.
It's only a show that a lot of people at Blizzard listen to, and they'll all hear it anyway. So it's all...
That's fine. None of them care.
They don't care. Final news in WoW. This is all very dumb, but the moose can totally fly. That moose that they're going to... Sell, it can fly.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it'll fly.
This just in, the moose will fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that we have that, you know, that in our world of gamers and WoW players, this is an item of news. It's like, yes, the moose can fly. Woohoo! Yep. And everyone rejoices.
Finally, our long national nightmare is over. The moose mount is real. It can fly. And somebody asked on Twitter, and Muffinus answered, yes, it can. The feet glow with blue-green dream dust. So there's your moose update 2015.
Whew.
Is that you got to buy that?
That was
one,
a close call, you guys.
Isn't that a purchase thing? You got to buy that, I think. Right?
Yeah, you got.
We
buy
don't
it
know
in
yet.
Store.
I thought that was a store one.
Do you have to?
Yeah, it's a store one. Yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. I mean, with all the moose talk for 10 years.
Promised me one.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Oh, right. That was a
all the way from Riot.
That's a Greg Street remnant right there.
Exactly, and so I feel that I shouldn't have to pay for one because I was promised one.
Yeah.
So.
All that right. was actually a thing on the forums for a few days.
Yeah.
Pretty
but
weird.
You were promised you could get one. You weren't promised you were
That's
going
true.
To
he
be
didn't
given
promise
one.
Us a free
he
moment.
Promised
I
me.
Don't think
he
so.
Promised me in a private meeting. He said, "You're going to get a moose." Yeah. And I said, "Well, Greg, maybe just clarify. Am I going to have to pay for this?" He said, "No, gratis. A gratis moose.
Gratis moose."
So that
huh?
means that you are going to get it for free, probably.
I hope so. I hope so. I hope that Greg honors that. You know,
has the wherewithal at Riot Games to make that happen, I'm sure.
He might not have the connections, but he should have the finance to just buy me one.
He didn't specify in what game you would get the moose. Maybe it's going to be a League of Legends moose.
Yeah.
Oh, let's not jinx it.
They don't have mounts, so I don't know what. How do they get around in that game?
You play a moose. It's the character that you play.
The moose
and he's called Moose Man.
All of the characters in League of Legends are knockoffs of the WoW characters anyway, right?
Right.
Of the, you know, Warcraft 3 characters.
Yeah.
Things like Wisp and Skeletal King and things like that.
No, that's Dota.
Which has
that's
a reason. Dota's I know. Worse. Don't hit me, LoL fans. I understand.
No,
why
we
this,
know. We get it. Actually, they're a little bit more creative over at LoL.
Dota.
Oh, nobody plays that game, Patrick. No one's going to be mad at you.
Yeah, it's not millions of people playing it. It's fine. Let's get into some Hearthstone stuff. There is a date announced for the Grand Tournament. It's August 24th. That's right around the corner.
Monday.
Yeah, that is Monday. Holy crap.
So there's the weekend, which sucks. Can we get through the weekend, please?
Yeah, yeah.
As fast as possible?
Yeah.
So I can get back to Monday,
the world.
Day that I've been looking forward to all
so,
the time.
So when you get there, here's my question. Here's my question for you, Dills. When you get to Monday and it comes out, what is the first thing you do as someone who's interested in the new expansion? Is it to check out the changes to the core mechanics of the game, or is it to as quickly as you can
just
earn
open
cards,
open
packs?
Open packs. That's the first thing you're going to be doing is just opening
everyone's
packs.
Everyone's already bought them as well. So.
Everyone's going to be streaming pack openings.
Pack opening, So I'm going to do that as well.
Are you going to buy a bunch?
Or packs, and I have about 5,000 gold that I'm going to spend on packs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll open somewhere in the range of 100 packs on Monday, which should get me a pretty good start so I can start making some new decks. But
I reckon, you'd be on kind of like 4 or 5 legendaries after 100, maybe?
Somewhere in that. If you're not dust. Incredibly lucky or unlucky, and I have a bunch of dust saved up too. But right now I'm rank 5, and it's like... I don't know. Like, if the meta
have
shakes
up enough...
Have they
added in a chest
sucks?
Now for Legend? Did they add in a new tier?
There's a chest for all the way up to Legend now, and you get a better chest for Legend. So it's now made a lot of people play more. Like, now you're seeing even, like, Kriparian is playing ranked. It's crazy.
Mm.
And he never gave a crap about that before. So that's doing what it was meant to do. But, it's basically open a bunch of packs, try making some new decks. I'm a little concerned that I'm going to tank my rank because... But it's all gonna be weird stuff. I'm never gonna know what to play around. It's gonna be really bizarre. It's gonna be the Wild West on the ladder, but that's cool. That's fun.
So we have the brawl for the week has been a couple of decks, one mage, one hunter deck, and they were both grand tournament themed. You had one inspire themed deck and one joust themed deck. I don't know if we have to go into the details of those mechanics, but what did you think, Dills, of the experience?
Well, they were both bad decks. I would say, like, I think so. The problem is, like, they had some decent cards in them, but these were just built to be balanced and not really built. And I would say the mage one is slightly better. People have had varying experiences. But the problem with, like, the Joust one is it didn't have enough high cards and it didn't have enough early removal. And it was just kind of weirdly built. And the other one was just, like, had some cards I would never put in a deck with an Inspire theme. But whatever. This wasn't meant to be like, here's an awesome version of an Inspire deck. It was just meant to be like, here's some of the mechanics and play against each other. It was fine. I didn't play it very much, honestly.
I played it a little bit, and I was surprised by a couple of things. The first thing is the Joust mechanic, which is like straight up anti-aggro. It's designed... what you initially think is that it does only that. It just deters people from playing aggro. I found that it was surprisingly efficient at, you know, actually even a non-aggro deck countering that, because you can put a bunch of high-cost minions and early removals through spells, because the jousting only takes into account the minions. And there are a couple of good cards in the with the Joust mechanic. So I was surprised it didn't perform too badly. I think there's a way to build a Joust deck that will get you the effect about, I don't know, 60% of the time. And the Joust effect is pretty good. And the Inspire thing, the thing that really surprised me was how good it was. Well, it's not fantastic, but it's not bad early game, even when you don't have lots of Inspire cards on the deck. I think it's going to be surprising how both of those mechanics can integrate into a wide different, you know, range of decks. More than I initially thought. Is that your
I think you can definitely build a solid Joust deck with what you said. Like you gotta eliminate the small minions and just replace that with early game removal. And that's what your early game is, just control the board, and then you get a massive advantage in the late game, because those cards are, the Joust cards are essentially slightly underpowered if you lose and just completely broken if you win. And that's kind of like how they're built. And that's, you know, so that's a really powerful thing if you can ensure that you win the Joust, you know, like 80% of the time. But
80% of the time I win every time.
Yeah. that's hard to control, because then if you run up against another Joust deck or something like that, then that's going to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Draws, you know, lose, which is a real pain in the ass.
Yeah. So, you know, but if it's a Joust deck against a Joust deck, I guess technically you'll both have maybe a similar chance of drawing and losing and all that stuff. So it'll somewhat even out, but you can't really say until we see these actual decks that people have built, because these decks were very much like, these were weak decks. These were not great. This is like kind of like the equivalent of buying like a pre-built Magic deck that's like, you know, got some decent cards in it, but it's got a lot of like commons that aren't very good. And everyone who plays Magic has experienced this with like these kind of clash decks that they build that aren't that good, but they're balanced. So once we actually see on the ladder, we'll really know how powerful. But you're right. I think they Joust can be very powerful in the right hands.
I just like the idea. I like your saying it's the Wild West for a few days. That's a fun time to watch people play this game.
It is. Like, this is the funnest part of any expansion. It's just that first few weeks when nobody really knows what's good or bad. I mean, with GVG... everybody didn't predict that Dr. Boom was going to be what Dr. Boom has become, right? Which is just like a game-winning play on turn 7 these days. I was playing last night, and the guy top-decked Dr. Boom on 7, and I lost the game. That's just how he's become, and that nobody saw that really coming, or nobody really saw patrons coming after Black Rock Mountain. So, this is the exciting part where we're going to find out what cards are broken. And right now, a lot of people have tended to think that most of this set is pretty bad. If you watch some of the top streamers and some of their predictions, they think most of the cards are pretty bad. And there's a few game changers, but that's always false. Like, there's
I think Shaman looked like they've come out on top, which is so rare for them because normally they are terrible. So I'll be really interested to see if they are as good as.
I can't see how they're not going to be, because they've gotten some really, really powerful upgrades. And then, of course, Control Warrior, has Varian now, which is going to be absolutely insane. So, but
Control Warriors didn't really need help, did they?
No. No, I mean, that's what I played up to rank 5, and it works really, really well. The only bad matchup is is mid-range druid, and you can even beat that if you draw right and play right. So, yeah, they're fine, but they got help anyway. I don't know why.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, that's the most fun part, because as you were saying, everything that was predicted for the last expansion and for the adventures didn't happen the way even, you know, the biggest experts who actually know how things work out. And I'm sure even the team doesn't fully understand how it's going to end up working once everyone in the world starts getting their hands on the decks and on the new cards. And so it's really anyone's game for a few weeks. And people are saying most of the cards are bad. But you really need, what, out of 120, what is it, 32 cards?
132 cards, yeah.
You need like two or three per class to change the entire way you play. You know, 10 or 20 cards that have an impact can be enough to change the meta. So, yeah.
But the thing is, though, most people are looking at it and imagining these cards in the decks that they currently see.
Exactly.
And they currently are being played, and that's... just it's hard to imagine the deck that hasn't been built yet. And that's why, you know, when people saw Grim Patron, there's actually a video of all of the pros talking about how bad Grim Patron is, which is now like a meta defining deck that has been number one for 3 or 4 months straight now, right? Which is like no other deck has been on top for that amount of time. And it's a hard deck to play, but it just wins games that it shouldn't, right? And so there's all these pros talking about how it's a terrible card, 5 mana for a 3/3. What are you talking about? So we don't know what card is going to be that out of this set. There's got to be something in there that's going to surprise everybody. And that's the funnest part. Like Scott said, like the Wild West portion of every expansion.
Yeah,
trying to figure out what is overpowered that we didn't even know was overpowered.
I was wondering if Scott was a little bit disappointed that it wasn't actually the Wild West. Cowboys in Hearthstone.
I'd be all for that. Next expansion should be cowboy themed. But this idea that this is the one thing I really enjoy about the game, or one of the things that I feel like I enjoy the most, and that is this cycle and watching real players, like guys who are good streamers, top streamers, Dills himself, everybody else. I like watching what the hell you guys do, because it's really
a fantastic
fun
viewer game.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's really fun to see all that stuff flesh out. On to a game that I have a lot of meta knowledge of and a great deal of play experience, Heroes of the Storm. They got a really good update this week. The Monk came out.
Yeah.
It was really, really fun. Really fun to play. Really controls well and just feels great. I like the whole approach to that character, except he's kind of a master of nothing.
You played it last week, didn't you? We talked about it last week.
You played it on the PTR.
I did briefly.
Oh,
I did briefly.
It's out.
Yeah, it's out now. It's physically out, you can purchase it. It's him, I should say. It's really, really fun to play, but I'm trying all these different builds. There's some some builds being assembled around him by players who are really good with support, and so I'm trying some of those. I'm trying DPS builds, and I'm finding that character is a jack of all trades, really fun to be a jack of all trades, but just kind of mastering nothing. He's never top DPS, never top healer. He's basically Tassadar and Tyrande again.
He's very similar to those, and which I feel like if you can take two of those types of supports and put them into your team, you can have a really, really strong composition. But you're right, and I find that ultimate here, the heroic ability.
Yeah.
The seven-handed strike or whatever it is. Yeah. It kind of sucks because you always hit the hero with the highest health.
Mm-hmm.
So all you really do is soften a group, but you never like kill anybody off.
Yeah. Right? One guy and his health is low, but
it's like the engage. It's like you start with that, soften everybody up, and then try to hit some sort of like big AoE with someone else on your team.
Yeah.
So when you're solo queuing with the
Monk,
what
if you wait until everyone's relatively low health though in the group fight?
Well, it'll still always hit the guy with the highest, but yeah, I mean, technically you could, if they're all really low, you'd finish a few people off. I think you find though in Heroes it doesn't happen as often as you think it would.
Yeah. Okay. It's great when it does. It's an incredible feeling, but and that particular ultimate is insane when that happens.
Sure.
But
a lot of
rare
times though, there's one guy that's being focused, right?
Yeah.
You know,
the invulnerability one is so much better, though, I think.
Well, it is from a team perspective. Like, if I'm alongside Dills, he's playing an Uber
right as well. You've pretty much got it indefinitely. You can just...
Yeah.
It just keeps resetting.
The problem with it is it's only for the next, like, 5 seconds or whatever. So you have to put it on someone who's
be really
actually
clinched
about to die.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
really difficult to time. So I think a lot of people are choosing the other one just because it seems more powerful right now. But I think you're right, like Terp said, that that one is actually the more powerful one. Mm-hmm. And pro players will be choosing that one if the monk makes it into pro.
It's a lot like Rhaegar's Ultimate Heal.
Well, Rhaegar's doesn't have to be timed perfectly, but yeah. Like, you want to use it on a low health character who's going to get the most out of it.
Right? Correct. But, that's true. Yeah. I like, there's a kind of a mana DPS build that I'm really digging right now, or mana healer build, I should say, not DPS. Mm. That seems very supporty, very game changery toward, you know, moments where we just need a guy to survive just barely and have the mana to do it, double heal, that kind of stuff. There's a few other things I really like about the character, but overall, I think he's awesome. And I'm actually, as much as I don't like the fact that none of these hybrid support heroes are ever, they seem anyway like they're not important to big competitive matches, although I'd argue a lot of those Heroes of the Dorm matches were won by Tassadar, but anyway, even though that's true, they're my favorite to play. I love them. Like, they're so much fun to play. It's just the numbers don't bear out. Like, when you want to look at your stats, yeah, you're just like, well, shit, I hardly healed anybody, or I hardly hurt anybody, or whatever. But you also remember that, well, yeah, but I had some game changing like saves and some incredible moments in that match where we wouldn't have done it without my weird ass thing I can do. And I love that. So, you know,
it's almost like the problem in WoW where the DPS feel like, I guess the DPS and the maybe the tanks even, but tanking is a thankless job, and mm-hmm. healing is mm-hmm. the most thankless job there is. Mm-hmm. And you know, you the DPS are like, yes, I did that much damage, and you're there keeping their ass alive, and you're like, well, but yeah, I saved you many times. Yeah. I don't know. It feels somewhat similar.
It is very similar. I think you just don't get rewarded for your utility as much as you would if you were top DPS mm-hmm. or top tank or top whatever. So there's that feeling at the end of the match. But in the match, I feel like we're kicking A with those kind of characters, and I hope they keep making them. And I do think it's a philosophy shift on their part, making just a pure, you know, run-around Lili healer that just basically pulses heals all day without trying very hard. I don't think they want that in the future of support. I feel like they're aiming more for this kind of hybrid approach, but anyway.
Yeah, it does run the risk, though, of you know, why would you run anything else mm-hmm. when you start getting these healers that DPS so well, mm-hmm. and, you know, when you're that, you know, Uther out there laying down the judgment, but not necessarily the deeps. Mm-hmm. It's a tricky model to compete
completely
against.
Agree. It's hard to balance. So we'll see how they do. Patrick, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that when I was playing Lili, I did try Lili hard.
Very nice.
So valuable contribution.
Yeah. You Lili held down that Q button. Yeah. Lili hard. Yep. Yeah.
Lili
yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
Quick note that I purchased because I couldn't stand not to, the 20,000 gold treasure goblin mount, because it is ridiculous. Man. And
it's awesome. Does it spit out coins like the... Like the piggy bank?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So when you run, as you're running, it's pooping him out the entire time. He's laughing awesome. All the time. His little feet patter around like little baby feet. It is fantastic.
It's super dumb. Gold. I have master skins to buy.
It's super dumb, I admit.
They should have called it Gold Sink, really. That's really the purpose of that.
It's limited time only. So at some point, they're yanking it. So that pushed me a little further into it. But also, let me throw out a criticism here. I don't think all the master skins in most of the characters who I like's cases are very good.
Because you're spending game currency on them.
Yeah. Some of them are
if it was for
the,
money, they would be
ones,
the best things you've ever seen.
That might be true.
I'll say this, though. The coolest thing about this patch to me was the dynamic packages, the bundles, dynamic bundles. So if you've actually purchased something in the past and there's a bundle that includes like two or three of the things you bought, you get a discounted price.
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah. I bought like three bundles right away. I was like, oh, nice. I can actually, because it was, you know, $13 or something for like four heroes mm-hmm. that I didn't
have. And
that's
really important to do, though, because you've got to vote with your wallet. And it's the mm-hmm. sort of thing that if Blizzard saw they made less money, I'm sure it's a feature that would bug out or be
But
removed.
It made me use it. Made
but exactly, yeah.
Money.
It's one of those. It's actually quite, literally a win-win situation because it gives you. You're getting a fair cut. You're getting a fairer deal when you pick up a bundle because you already owed a character or two. And they're still getting people motivated who buy everything and are running out of things to buy.
Yeah, so, it rewards their existing player base. Yeah. That's the great thing about it, is that it's not a question of having to milk these whales for every penny they have. Mm-hmm. It's about trying to make them feel good about spending money. And Blizzard has always struggled, I think, with their pricing and the way they do macro transactions, it seems, to make you feel like, oh, that was a good amount. I don't feel like that. I feel like that's worth it. I'll get that value back. But
aren't they also reimbursing? Aren't they reimbursing?
I don't think they've struggled. I heard they're taking care of people who had bought, but I don't think that
they're
giving one of them, so I don't know how it works.
Oh, are they getting gold? Is that? I didn't know that.
Because I didn't purchase any bundles that I already owned characters on, so I have no way
to know
back
in like the tech alpha, so I don't know.
I would think that they would like pop up and tell you that you're getting this back, but maybe not. Maybe they stealthily did it.
Mm. I think I've read something about that, and it's being implemented in the next few days. I might be mistaken, and if I am,
they did
I'm
say they
really
would take
sorry,
care of people who've but, already spent money on bundles and didn't get this dynamic pricing. So.
I think a exchange for gold would be just fine. That'd be great.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're getting gold. They're not getting money back. But
yeah, that's
by the way, have we talked on this show about Hearthstone making $20 million a month?
Yeah, we did last week briefly.
Well, so we don't know still how much Heroes is making at this point,
no,
right?
No, we don't.
Someone, though, wrote that they thought that potentially Hearthstone was making less money because so many of the players that were playing on PC started playing on iOS, and thusly Apple gets 30%. So
iOS counted, brought a lot of new players, too.
Yeah. What they said was it was $20 million total, equally divided between mobile and PC in their analysis, which is, you know, not Blizzard analysis, so we don't know how accurate it is. But yeah, it's the revenue. It's not the, obviously, it's not the...
the actual...
it's not profit. Yeah, it's not net profit.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
It's not the profits, it's the revenue.
But that's what I was wondering, though, is I play more on my phone than I do on my PC, just because I always have my phone with me. Yeah. I have, but then, I mean, and equally, I'll end up doing the, as a lot of Hearthstone addicts do, using Amazon coins because you get money back for spending coins, and every now and then there'll be a cash back offer on, and yeah, I because I spend so much, I do try and save some money. So it's trickier. But then Blizzard also sells 60 packs only on the PC and at a really good rate, to try and encourage people like myself to spend money directly with them.
Yeah, you do it on the PC, then just move over to your phone, you know? Just move over when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. And worst case scenario, I mean, worst case for Blizzard, the $10 million on mobile is all on iOS, which I don't think it's the case because it's on other platforms as well. I mean, obviously, Android. Mm-hmm. And that's still $7 million a month, you know, in their pocket because Apple takes 30%.
Yeah.
They're still okay.
Yeah.
They're doing fine.
Just fine. I think I don't play much on my phone because I'm still rocking an iPhone 5. And if I had, I think if I had a 6 with a bigger screen, I think I would definitely do it more.
Yes.
It's still a little too small on the phone.
If you do it on the Duke, like
I got
big
a 6
one.
Plus. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's easy for me, even with my Mars.
I played a lot on my iPad.
Yeah.
iPad in bed is fantastic, but to me, like, a PC is still, it's probably the streaming stuff though and all that, but PC
the,
is
the
like
deck
the
track is really nice on PC. I really like that. That definitely helps me play better. But there's just, I think I'm more chilled and kind of in the zone when it comes to just on my phone. So I
and
think
with iOS 9, you're going to be able on I think on most iPads to have the video pop-up.
Oh, yeah.
From your video thing, so you can watch stuff. I don't know if it's only the... I know the split screen is only on the iPad Air 2.
But the PMP is everything. Yeah, it's all of it.
Yeah, so you're going to be able to, you know, watch Kriparian or even, you know, Dills streaming as you're playing.
Whoa,
that,
even
that
Dills?
That is going to be incredible.
Oh, that's amazing.
Even Terpster.
That's crazy.
Even Terpster.
In case they, you know, make an exception and, you know, Apple is like, nope, that guy, we cannot let them have...
Can't let that guy be on here, yeah.
Holy shit.
Totally unprofessional.
Pretty excited. Finally, Diablo has a little bit of news, and that is that we should be getting this patch on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday.
How certain are you? I'm so excited for this.
I'm not entirely certain,
but there's other stuff.
Oh,
right?
There's way more stuff. So this
you get a Heroes character, don't you?
You get a Heroes character. You get the first StarCraft tank. What's his name? I always forget his name.
Tassadar.
Not Tassadar. The other guy.
Tassadar.
Not Zeratul.
Artanis. That's it.
Okay.
He's the first warrior based StarCraft player in the in Heroes. So you get that.
Oh, you're still talking about Heroes. I thought you had moved on to Diablo.
No, I did.
I'm not excited about this at all, then.
No, for now. Oh, actually, no, you don't get that from Diablo. You get that from StarCraft 2's pre-order.
Yeah.
Never mind.
But from Diablo for the new season, you get up to, was it, level 30?
There is a hero.
Yeah.
You get someone, don't you?
You get Diablo just for playing.
You get Diablo
anyway.
You don't
have Diablo.
Yeah. You get Diablo if you don't already own him, and then you get the Charger, not Charger, but the other horse, Malthael's horse, is... a mount in that game, but you unlock it in Diablo, so you get that mount is a possibility.
Is
in
that
Heroes.
What you get? I think you get the mount if you get to like high level in this new season.
Correct.
I think it's level 70.
I don't think it's. Yeah, you got to get to 70. But is it just get to 70, or do you have to get
some
RNG?
I don't think any Paragon. No, I think it is just 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then this Kanai's Cube thing is part of this, and the whole quest to get it, and that the backstory in that is really cool. If you guys haven't seen the video, that's totally worth seeing.
The one with the co-worker. Well, yeah, it's Kanai.
Ken Kanai passed away.
Yeah, passed away, and there's a whole video on it. But
it's
basically,
really cool.
The Kanai Cube is something to honor the Blizzard dev that passed away. It's super cool. The video is really heartwarming.
What's really cool about it? The video is great and all that other stuff. What's really cool is they're not just honoring him with like a mention or something, or the namesake. It's actually really rad what that thing does. So
yeah.
I'm more excited about this Diablo patch than I have been for a very long time and can't wait for it to hit. So it looks like Tuesday, that's the current, everyone says that. There's rumors everywhere. There's been no official confirmation, but that's what it's supposed to be according to everyone I've heard. So Tuesday.
Just to get people excited about the Kanai Cube, basically it extracts properties from your legendary items and enables you to infuse yourself or other items?
Other items.
I can't remember.
It's other gear.
Yeah, right. So other items with that legendary property. So if you have a Ring of Royal Grandeur and you want to have that, activate the set effect with one less set item property, you can put it on another ring and not have to keep the Ring of Earl Grandeur on you at
That's
all times.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's it's super. And, you know,
huge.
I love how it there's levels. Terror. Not Terror.
Paragon.
No, not Paragon. Like the difficulty.
The
Torment.
Torment levels, yeah.
Torment.
Yeah.
It goes to 10, which is, you know. There are new sets and reworked set. Like there's for the mage, the wizard, there's a reworked Veer's Arcana, which is basically an Archon set, which it looks fantastic. It's like I love how this game goes higher and higher in badassery with every patch.
Yeah.
It's like you feel even more powerful than you did before. And already before, you felt like you were destroying everything in existence just by blinking. I love this game.
I can't wait. I'm super stoked to get back into it. So I've been playing it anyway. I mean, it's not even have to get back into it. Just throw myself at it again is what I'm looking forward to. Hey, guys. A reminder, today's episode is brought to you by Harry's. Because you all got furry faces and you need to shave them, right? Or at least your neck. You don't want no neck beard. Right? Am I right? You know I'm right. Shaving with a dull blade isn't fun. Sometimes we cut and scrape ourselves with dull blades. Draw blood sometimes. Razors are expensive. They're like $4 a blade. Don't do that anymore. Go to harrys.com and get them sent directly to your door. I got the Winston set and I love it. You will as well. Did you know they ship for free as well? That's something I almost forgot to tell you. How about an extra $5 off your first purchase with the coupon code WOW, W-O-W. That's at harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and put in the code WOW. It's that simple. Get $5 off your next awesome shaving gear at harrys.com. That's harrys.com. We have two very quick phone calls before we end the show today. I'm going to play them right now with this little intro. You may have heard it before.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
All right, let's get to the
Port
town
side.
Crier. Port side. Call us 801-471-0462 with your voicemails, 801-471-0462, or you can email us, theinstance@gmail.com. Here are our two calls today. One is about what case will be the case when you want to play a melee hunter.
This is Skinless on Hydro US. Been a mean spec hunter for as long back as I can remember. And I remember when we used to have minimum range, and I actually did want to be a melee hunter, but since then, I haven't wanted to do that at all, so I was trying to think of what circumstance I would want to be a hunter that hits things with a stick. And what I thought was, wouldn't it be nice if they made us tanks? Because if they can make us a tank, we're basically, imagine where we're standing in front of the boss doing some evasion hunter tanking, and then we soak up our three stacks, and instead of passing it off to an off tank, we just hit Eyes of the Beast and become our pet, pass all our threat over there, and keep passing it back and forth. We could be our own off tanks. So that would be the only circumstance I could think where I would actually want to be a melee hunter. Anyway, I enjoy the show. Thanks a lot.
I kind of agree, but also,
so,
yeah.
Well, I think the National Union of Azerothian off tanks is strongly objecting to that idea, and it's going to be hard going past them.
But what if it's good, though? Like, what if you are a good, valid off tank? You know, like
I don't think they can make, honestly, I don't think they can make a melee hunter that's either DPS or tank. So if they decided to do this, it would just be tank. And then, and you really want to trust the hunter in your group has been doing nothing but long range DPS for 10 years to suddenly step in and have tank something.
I got
for
it, guys. Don't worry. I got this.
Oh, I feigned death. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
oh, did
I'm
it kill all
here.
The healers?
No, I mean, everyone plays more than one character.
Yeah. That's what you
do. Yeah. Everyone plays more than one character. I'm sure, you know, many hunters have tanked in the past.
Well, I've tanked in the past, yes. But
there you go.
I've actually tanked on my hunter like a long time ago when you could maybe take, you know, a super strong pet and be a little bit overpowered for the, you know, the five man you're in. And we've tried it and we've kind of done it, but
a pet.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Sort of. But no, I think they're going DPS.
No, it's going to be kind of roguish DPS as far as I can tell.
It's going to be like Donatello. You know, he had a stave, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's what it's a,
did he have a
about.
Stick? I don't know if he fought. Did he used to fight
a
stick?
Yeah. He had the stick. Donatello.
Which turtle? Is he the turtle that was stupid?
He's the purple one who's really good with mechanics.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'd invent a cool bow staff.
Who was the
but
idiot?
But still like to party.
Who was the dumb one?
Not like Raphael.
Yeah, Raphael's the dumb one, right?
Michelangelo
was the dumb one.
Okay.
He was the party guy.
All right.
Raphael was the angry one, and Leonardo, he was the leader.
But he's the leader.
But they all liked pizza, right? That was a deal across the board.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they all like vanilla ice.
Not much after two, but sure. Yeah, they liked him a little bit for a minute. All right, here is a Garrison question.
This is Vest from Wormrest Accord. Level 100 mage. Big fan of the show, listen to you guys every week. One thing I'm curious about is, do you think they're ever going to make Garrisons or whatever comes next account-wide, you know, maybe in the next expansion? It'd be really great to not have to level the damn thing every single time. And then to be able to come in on your character and see all of your alts hanging out in the garrison would be pretty cool. I hope they do it. Thanks, guys.
What we know about Legion is there is no garrison in the way that we know the garrisons. They still exist, obviously, but they're not this thing that you're going to continue to use.
You can go back there was their big thing, as if anyone goes
class
back there.
Class orders now, which is your kind of your new...
Yeah,
new
and your weapons, your artifacts,
the way,
and all that.
The way they addressed this issue of leveling each character's garrison individually is that in the new expansion, they got rid of garrisons entirely. Yeah. So you won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
That was initially what a lot of people thought that would be cool, especially the fact that you could, you know, the idea that you could see your alts hanging out in your garrison. That was super fun. They didn't do it, but yeah, I think they've definitely learned their lesson that the garrison was way too time consuming and a little bit of an issue if you had lots of characters you wanted to get to max level and you had to go through the garrison. So
it distracted from the rest of the game, and essentially, like it centralized too many things and took away the reasons to be kind of in the world and engaged in the world.
And I agree with that, but not only that, it because in the end it was kind of a hollow experience even in a vacuum on its own. It was, you know, I really enjoyed it at first, and then about the mid-range I'm like, okay, I don't know about this, and by the end I was like, this isn't ultimately as fun as all those other things it kind of replaced or could replace.
Yeah.
For people who wanted to just sit around and do nothing.
It made a lot of things much, much more convenient. Like, you know, things like running around the world, mining and stuff, is much more convenient just run down into this mine. The problem is that it's so boring to run down into this mine, and it's much more interesting to be running around the world and seeing stuff. So it never quite did what it was meant to do, even, you know. We all loved it, though, remember?
It did initially.
When it first came out, we all loved it. We thought it was great.
We did.
It got really long in the tooth really fast.
It's like a big cake, and that frosting is amazing, and you just start eating that cake, and you get halfway done with your cake, and you're like, oh, I'm kind of sick of this cake.
Now there's no more frosting on this cake.
Yeah, I don't like this cake anymore.
Now it's just sweet bread.
Yep.
To address the accounts question, and, you know, if your cake is account wide and all of your alts can come and have a piece of the cake. No, I think they've learned their lesson. And if they ever come back to something like this, I don't think it would work quite that way, where it wouldn't be a chore to have it on all of your alts and do it on all of your alts. I don't know that it's ever going to be what it is now, right? The way they would fix this implementation would be something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially, we're just not going to have to worry about it anymore once the new expansion hits. So,
yeah,
you know. But I do agree with the caller that it would have been much more awesome if it was account wide from the get go, because it became tedious. It really did.
Yeah, it was a little hollow in the end. Terpster, I asked him once how he felt when he finished, and he said this:
I bet his balls just exploded.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, great. Little audio.
Where are you getting these clips from?
Well, I may have.
Have you bugged my house?
All right, how about this one? Want this one? Check this one out. Whoops, wait.
Show me that penis.
There you go. That's a good one.
Man.
Right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I should really got a one-track sweep mind. My house. Yeah.
check all your stuffed animals, maybe a little camera in their eye or something. You never
exactly.
know.
Exactly, yeah.
That's it for calls.
From Scott Johnson's covered in cameras.
Hey, reminder that we can be found at theinstance.net. Big thanks to everybody who goes over there and checks things out, and links to everything we do is there. Our phone number's there. All that stuff's there. 801-471-0462 or theinstance@gmail.com. Send those emails in. Let's go around the table, see if anybody has anything to pimp or promote. Patrick, you got anything cool? What's going on?
The only thing I want to say is that if Turpin sounded like he wasn't really focusing on the show today, it's because he's been playing WoW for the entire show.
Oh, sharp of I'm not, Patrick. I've just logged in just now, and you're making assumptions.
Show me that penis.
I've been on it the whole time.
That's all I have. That's it.
All right. I like that's a good cool. thing
I've
to
I've been
promote.
Playing a hunter. It's okay. It's allowed. It's
not
allowed.
Not Patrick on Twitter.
To learn about it.
Check out his website. It's frenchbin.com. Lots of great podcasts and things happening there. Dills, anything from you, sir? You guys are going to have a big Monday for TAC, I guess.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about on Monday. Obviously, the new cards will all be out. Considering maybe I should just take the day off of work. Just hang out and play Hearthstone
all day. Well, we don't know when it's going to turn on. Usually they try to make it in the morning US time, West Coast. So it's probably going to be but you never know. Sometimes
too,
it's a little
so
bit later.
I'll rock an EU account if that happens first, and that might
it's probably going to be at the same time though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
so,
I don't have it late.
We'll be doing that on Monday. If people like Hearthstone, Angry Chicken is the place to be. So that's 7 o'clock, and then we're gonna have our big 100th episode the week after. So this is next week
quick.
Is episode 99, and then the week after is 100, and I'm not sure, but it sounds like we're mostly confirmed there will be someone from Team 5 on episode 100.
Awesome.
As well as possibly some other guests and stuff, and then we're going to have a big announcement of a guest coming up after that, so it's very exciting stuff going on. Also, if you're a Patreon of The Angry Chicken, we're switching to per episode so we can start adding more goals and reach them at an easier rate. So if you are a patron, you should probably go in there and make sure you've changed your thing.
So basically, don't do anything. Don't worry about
it. Just leave it.
We just want to make sure everyone's aware if they want. You can actually put in like a maximum or something like that for a month if you're concerned. But
yeah,
just want to make sure everyone understands that's going on. And that there's a lot of good reasons why, because we're going to be able to add like some goals that allow us to maybe do even more shows per week in the future. So check that out. And then check me out on Twitch, WillyDalesSF. I'll be streaming a lot as soon as this comes out because, you know, we'll be playing a lot. And actually, Terpster, what rank are you?
Now I'm rank 9.
I wanted to see when you were all high and stuff, and I got to five. I was like, I should hit up Terpster and have like a little challenge here.
We should see if we can race to legend.
Yeah.
It would be a lot harder for me now, but maybe I'll crack out the
Wall. Well, I'm just going to pretend I'm racing you, and I'm going to try.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Just pretend. Right. You guys will be pretend.
I'm just going to keep checking in.
Come Monday, all bets are off. Yeah. If I get some good cards in my packs,
you could go on some sick winning streak. It could happen.
Terpster, anything from your end of the world you want to mention?
Just obviously the best podcast in the world, Hypothetical Help. You can check it out at hypotheticalhelp.com. I can't say the word, but
that's all right. And that Patreon for that show that Terpster and I do, and if you haven't checked it out, it's out there. And it's, you know, free to anyone, but there are a lot of people who are deciding that they want to help us out. That's already per episode. So we're not going to pull any weird scams on you or
anything. We're not going to try and scam you like the angry chicken are. In fact, if you feel that you've been scammed, maybe go to patreon.com/hypohelp and give your money to someone who's not going to scam you.
There you go. I like the sound of that. No, they're not scamming anybody. It's a great. It's freaking the angry chicken. Is there a better Hearthstone podcast? No. That's the answer is no.
I can't believe it's already 100 episodes.
I know. It's crazy.
That's insane. Is a lot of episodes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We've done, like, we're doing essentially like five a month, but yeah, it's like 2 years plus.
Yeah. Or so. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, when I first, I wanted to send a recording to the show for the 100th episode, but I had been playing the game for a while, and podcasts are really something that you value when you like a game that much and you want to hear people talk about it all the time. And it was just, you know, people at Blizzard and there was no one else I could talk about it with. And I was waiting for a good podcast to show up and you guys just really became that for me. So I'm so thankful for the show. And
this is very nice. This little moment we've had. Yeah, I like that.
Thanks. Aww.
Thanks guys. Patrick. Jeez, that's great. Well,
also, we're going to be debuting a new intro for episode
100. Ooh, now I'm really freaked out.
I'll just say this. Fletcher lives.
Ooh.
Wow.
Scott Fletcher lives.
I missed amazing. The whole him dying thing, but I'm glad to hear he lives.
Well, it's World of Warcraft. You can do those things. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Instant show on Twitter. Find me at Scott Johnson, Willie Dills for Dills, _T for Terpster, and Not Patrick for Patrick. Frogpants.reddit.com is our subreddit. That's starting to kick up again. If anybody's interested in hanging out there with a bunch of community members, that is a thing. Frogpants.reddit.com. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swigert, who keeps up the website. More shows like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Bye.
Le dick.
Le dick. Le dick.
Okay, we get it.
Le dick.
Oh, jeez.
Chicka.
Oh, he won't shut up now.
Oh, shit.
All right.
And now, it's time for
Tip, Give Us Tip of the Week.
When giving a tip, don't build a diving board on the edge of a bottomless pit and then jump in.
Well, you know, here's my review of the latest expansion. Oh, crap!
Blizzard steers mount collectors in new direction. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The World of Warcraft is designed to attract many different kinds of players. Those who love to quest, people who seek the challenge of raiding, masochists who live for the joy and agony of PvP. But few are more passionate than the collectors, those players who gotta have them all. Recently, Blizzard finally made good on a promise from years ago when it revealed an upcoming Moose mount. This had mount collectors dancing for joy. Of course, they were limited to the standard character dances because Blizzard still hasn't fulfilled a dance studio prompt. Sorry, just a bit bitter. But when it comes to feeding the addiction of mount aficionados, it turns out the moose wasn't the dessert, it was the appetizer. Because today, Blizzard announced another new mount blending two of their best-known properties, the Cow King from Diablo's not-so-secret cow level. It turns out he has been corrupted by Gul'dan's fell energy and will be part of the Collector's Edition for the next WoW expansion. This bovine bus can carry two additional passengers, has mottled green hide, and can discourage pursuers by discharging a noxious green cloud while trotting, providing a short jet propulsion speed burst. So if you love mounts or just want to have a cowman, get ready to buy that collector's edition, because the Cow King will truly be Legion Dairy. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Hey there, this is Jules.
And this is Mark Conan, and we're the hosts of Torin Think Tank. We're the podcast all about the stuff you deal with as players of WoW, interacting with people both inside and outside of the game.
We talk about the tough stuff, the funny stuff, and everything in between. And it's driven by your letters and what you want us to cover.
Here's what we were talking about in our latest show.
You know, done that, though. I've done that to say to people, you know, it takes me a while to be comfortable with sharing information. And, you know, and people have walked away because of that. Like, that just wasn't their thing. And and that, to me, if it wasn't their thing, it's not my thing. So it's not going to be comfortable. And other people are like, no, I totally understand. That's when you establish kind of how your relationship comfort level is with someone, and they say, yeah, I'm cool with that, then you're good.
You know how people can quickly, you know, just quickly fall in love?
Yeah.
People can quickly fall into friendship, and just their expectations. It's all about expectations, right? I mean, it's all these different levels of sharing, of trust, and of how much you want to give versus take.
You can find the latest episodes of Torin Think Tank on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on our website at torinthinktank.com.
We can't wait to meet you. So until next time, slash moo, everybody.
Slash moo.
Thrumcar, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, help, I passed out on the ship during a recent sea invasion with my troops. How can I be a strong and inspiring leader if I'm now afraid to sail? Truthfully, sailing is really overrated. You will spend half your time bailing out the leaky boat your brother-in-law assured you was in top condition. You will spend the other half of your time trying to figure out which end of one of those sextant thingies to point at the ocean to navigate to where you are going. And do not get me started about how much fun it is to row, row, row your boat. You would probably be much more inspiring in one of those musical plays about the sea. Learn to sing a sea shanty or two, kiss a cod, and drink screech until you think you are inspiring, no matter what your troops tell you. I am Miss Mogra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mogra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmogra.com. Thanks to Captain Patient for this week's question.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Show me that penis.